Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Métis Voices Radio Show, our own internet radio program at CBS Radio every Friday evening. Tonight, we start off the program by playing the Red River Jig by the Métis Toe Tappers. Our show begins at 7:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Station 2. To listen, just click to listen arrow at the top. If that doesn't work, scroll down and choose whichever Listen Live button works for you. Each show features a variety of subjects and special guests coming to you live from the Machif Métis Museum in beautiful Raven Beach, just outside of Clearwater, British Columbia, Canada. Call-in lines will be open throughout the program. Here are the numbers to call. In the U.S. and Canada, toll-free, 888-228-4494. And worldwide, toll-free, 877-489-6350. For direct lines, go to BBS Station 2 main page under the header Call In and Speak Live. And don't worry if you miss any of these call-in numbers. They are posted on the BBS Radio website, all stations, and repeated on the program. And now, introducing your host, Dale Haggerty.
Ansei, and welcome, everyone. Tonight, once again, we're going to have an information and open line night on Métis Voices Radio. Tonight, we were in our little place in Vavenby, and tonight we have just been on our weather station here, and we've got a snow warning, and we woke up to about 12 inches of snow here in downtown Vavenby here, and we were supposed to go and do a school presentation today, and for the cultural Métis stuff, and we couldn't even get out of the little town we live in because there was a big truck that jackknifed, and he was loaded with all kinds of lumber, and so we were stuck. We came home and put another log on the fire, and we're just all raring to go tonight. So I would like to play a song right now. It's called Richard's Road Song. is it. It's called Richard's Road Song from the CD of Drops of Brandy. Well, we did it, folks. Clearwater's first Louis Riel Day celebration at an elder's dinner. And it was sponsored, very thankful sponsor, and hosted by Success by Six. They're a little organization that is in Clearwater that looks after from 0 to 6 children, and they are starting to get them young to teach them their culture and their identity of who they are. And the M'chiq Métis Museum was part of that. And what we did there is it was held Sunday at 4:30 on November 23rd. I couldn't make the November 16th date because I was at school. And I'm doing very well in school, and I'll be talking about that a little bit later on. But my wife, my good old partner here, Dale, and I performed a short story and a presentation, and we were acting as Mushum and Kukum, which is grandma and grandpa in our M'chiq language there. So, and what we did was Dale had converted one of the plays that I had wrote. It was called The Summer of 1884, and she brought it, toned it down a little bit so there wasn't too much politics in it so the kids could enjoy it. And then we did an adult version of it, but it was actually a wonderful success. Everyone went out very well, very pleased, lots of good comments, and everybody had a good time, and the food was actually good. They had some bannock there and some traditional baked salmon, and of course they had some deer stew, and oh my goodness, was it ever good. So, and I had the privilege of having my mom there, and I honored my mom with the honor of the sash, and I put a sash around her to identify that my mom is the Métis person that she is, and I gave her a big hug and kiss. And of course we did some jigging, and I got up there and told a little story about how the Red River carts, and how the young boys used to walk beside the Red River carts, and of course the story was, if you know, the wheels, they could never grease the wheels, so they always had to keep an eye on, so when the wheels were so hot, they couldn't cool them off with the water because they had to be careful of their water supply. So what they did was they had the young lads walking beside the Red River carts on the long trails, and if a spark came off, the young boys would have to stamp them out. And of course, there you go. That's how they learned how to do the jig. And speaking of jigs, I'm going to play you a nice little tune that I just picked up here. It's called the Victory's 34th Movement. And here we go with the song, There Goes. Thank you. there you go. It's the Victoria's 34th movement. And I'm not too sure. It just says various artists, but it's from the album Drops of Brandy. And getting back to the actual elders' dinner, like I said, everything went very well, and everyone had a good time, and the food, of course, was fabulous. And by the way, the food was prepared by our own illustrious Royal Purple ladies. They are the Elks, part of the association with the Elks up here in Clearwater. They did an absolutely fabulous job. And we also had two young dancers doing the jigging, and we also had this young, talented young, little young girl, and she did the butterfly dance. And there you go. And but we had a great time, and lots of rave reviews, and the mayor gave us a really warm welcome to our culture, and there you go. So we had a lot of fun. So, anyways, that's what we're going on. So listen, if our callers lines are open. And if you guys want to just call in with your questions or comments, or just want to chat about any subject you like, or else you can just relax and continue to listen to as I play good Métis music in between. And here's our numbers to call in the USA and Canada. It's toll free 888. 228-4494. And worldwide, it's toll free 877-489-6350. Give us a call, or just some relax to some music. And here you go again. I have just picked up a little tune. It was called the Duck Dance Calhoo. Let's listen to this tune. Announcements to say over the air, like in the Interior Métis Children and Family Services are having their Christmas dinner and social in Kamloops on Friday, December 12th. I am going to be attending that one as well. That's going to be a quite an event, and that's why on the next week we will have an archive for that. And also, the Métis Commission is having their open house on December 18th from 11 to 3 p.m. in Kamloops. And you can check out their website at www.metiscommission.com for more details. And there you go. And if there's any other things going on, I heard there was another big celebration in the Lower Mainland, but I haven't heard from my my friends down in the Lower Mainland to give me some reporting about they're having an open house down there as well and a Christmas party. So, hello, is there somebody there? I guess there was. I thought I heard a beep. Hello, anybody there? Okay, here we go again. I'm going to play, I got this great Drops of Brandy's album here, and there's some real good songs here that I haven't even heard of, so I'm going to play another one coming up, and it's called Cotton Eye Joe. Again, there's no names on the artist. It just says various artists, but it's from the Drops of Brandy, and it was disc number 2. Well, you know, I was going to play some Christmas music, you know, and my wife says, oh, no, it's too early today. So we were all working in the front room, putting our decorations up, and all of a sudden, she puts on the television, and here's this Christmas tree, and it's got all kinds of Christmas songs on it, and I looked at her, and she's just started to laugh. So maybe I might be able to sneak a Christmas tune in tonight. I don't know yet. So anyways, I have something that I would like to say. It's before that, if please call in with your questions or comments or just want to chat about any subject you'd like, or else just you can just sit back and relax and continue to listen as I play good old Métis music in between. So, yeah, I have a subject that I would like to talk about. There's whiff of the air in the BC political arena out there, and I just wanted to clear the air with everybody that there is an organization. It's called the Machif Historical and Cultural Preservation Society. The whole purpose behind the society is to preserve our culture, record the history, and without getting into any politics, to work with our children, our elders, to make a better life for ourselves and the new people that are just trying to find their own identity. The idea with the Machif Historical Society, it was started in 1996. And under this umbrella, they have called the Métis Museum. Of course, that's the museum that used to be in Surrey, and it was a long time running. When I got involved, it was the year 1999, it was a very good organization, which it's still running right today because we're looking after it right now. The idea with the society was brought to light. It was because, you know, they were having an auction down on downtown Vancouver, and they were claiming that there was Louis Riel's artifacts were going to be sold on the market, and of course they were. I'm not too sure, but I don't think I'm getting a call, but I think somebody's on my other line, but I'm going to ignore it, so if you can just hear this beeping in the back, just ignore it. The story was that they were going to sell the Louis Riel artifacts, and of course, they might have actually had left the country, and of course, you know, when people buy Métis artifacts, you know, they've got to find out where and who they're affecting. And of course, our elders went all the way down there and started protesting, and they eventually got them to the owners at when it went up to the auction block. The owners actually had signed documents that they would not have this stuff leave the country, and they were going to have their collection put into a museum. And of course, at this time, the only museum that anybody could think of was the Glenbow Museum in Calgary. So if anybody's interested, there's a lot of Métis artifacts in there. And if they don't have them out, you know, you should talk to the curator and tell them, hey, listen, this is what the idea was behind it, that you've got these Métis artifacts. We'd like to see them on display, and this is what it's all about. So in the meantime, they started this little organization, which was just a small organization, maybe about 15 people, and it was called the Machif Historical and Cultural Preservation Society. And, of course, then they got a little bit of funding, not very much, and they started their own little museum. They went back east and got some artifacts of their own. Some were donated. Not a lot were donated. And if they were donated, they were donated by the actual 15 people that were part of the society. And the only thing that was ever donated back was these artifacts that was given back to the church. And, of course, when we had these artifacts given back to us from the church, we had to go through loops and loops and loops to get our stuff back. But they are in good hands. They're in a museum right now on display, and they're being well taken care of, so we don't have to worry about that. And everybody keeps saying that, oh, this is just Dale's museum. You know, I wish it was my museum because things would be a little bit different, but it's not my museum. It's the Métis People's Museum. And it's entrusted into the board of directors that are keeping an eye on it. They're keeping it out of the political arms so they don't exploit it and take advantage of all the funding and everything like this. You got to admit, we've only had one funding program that was allowed to us, and we did very well with it. We had trained seven young lads and women there to be museum curators. Two of them took the course, and the other two were very interested in doing work inside and helping us maintaining the museum, and that's the only funding we have. And, of course, we also had a small little program that was so we can convert all our museum artifacts from the English language to a Machif language, which was a very good program. Yes, you know, the museum has been struggling for a long, long time. You know, we've been going after funding and not getting anywhere. Hello, is there somebody there?
I think so.
Hello, is this Mr. Earl Belcourt?
How are you?
Hey, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty darn good, thank you very much. I'm glad to see that you guys are still promoting this entire system here, because it's a good thing to have.
There you go, Earl. I'm just trying to go through the motions of telling them how we are and how we get started and stuff like this. By the way, everybody, Earl Belcourt is one of our board of directors. He's the cultural advisor for the Vancouver Island, and he's also our media director on the island and in the lower mainland, another director. So how are you doing tonight, Mr. Belcourt?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And I was just calling in regards to our board members, and I was looking at the board members, and I don't see a veteran on our board. Do we have one? Or?
Actually, we do have a veteran on our board. Her name is Teresa Dion.
Oh, okay. My apologies, because
we are looking to expand our board, and we are looking for that possibility of getting Mr. Darsharm to join the board, but we wanted to make sure that, you know, we're going to have this annual general meeting that's been called for the 27th of December, and we were going to discuss all this stuff with us. I was hoping that
would
come up. What do you think, Earl?
I think it's a great idea. I think the more board members we have, the better. But in particular, one for each region, and then we carry on with business from there. And there's, we have so much work to do, it's unbelievable, and so many opportunities. I was talking to Michael Ignatieff the other day, who's probably going to be the next Prime Minister of Canada, and he certainly is on board with this. I know I'm setting up a meeting with him and Tom Allon here, hopefully on the 12th of December, and to introduce the Machif Preservation and Cultural Society of British Columbia. And with any luck at all, you know, he'll be able to do that. But he is a busy man, and we'll see what happens with that. And I do know Michael Ignatieff is certainly interested in meeting. So we'll work on that and see what happens. I've had a lot of emails and phone calls interested in our organization, and we'll just keep going the way it is. And that's just, what more can I say? It's very interesting. People are interested in our culture, in particular our preservation. And at this point in time, I'm also talking to Gordon Campbell of the province about a building that they may be getting rid of, and Kamloops in particular. Really, I don't think it matters where we're going to be. I think it matters that we're going to build something, and people will come to that. Just like the Red River West used to be. That's our interest, and I think the board is that way. And I certainly hope that if I'm going out of bounds here, I intend that the board will tell me that I am going out of bounds, and if that's the case, well, then I'll just back off and we'll carry on from there. But I know that we're all trying to work together, and that's the main thing.
You betcha. You know something? The more the place they were, like I, Earl, let me tell you something. I remember when I started moving up here, and I thought, well, where are we going to put the museum? So that's the day that when we went down there, and I went down and stayed over at a friend's place, and I built the inside of an office that was also sponsored by the North Fraser Métis Association. You know, they gave us a place to stay. Of course, we paid the rent, and of course, when we ran out of money, they let us stay there for 4 or 5, maybe even 6 months, you know, without, until we could try to get more funding. And then eventually, they got all tied up with the wrong crowd again, and, you know, they wanted to take over the museum, and I ended up having to haul the museum all the way up here on the board's permission to do that. And then when I was up here there, Earl, I said to everybody, I says, why don't we start a little museum display in all over the region, Fort St. John and Dawson Creek and anywhere, Prince George and Terrace and Cranbrook, and, you know, and we could put some artifacts all over the place, and then we could just trade them all around, you know what I mean? And we would go down there and... And you know what? I couldn't get anybody that was interested in doing it. It was, and everything's been coming out of our pocket. Dale and I are both sort of semi-retired, and you know, but we don't care. That wasn't the point. It's not a money issue with us.
Didn't you even offer your help and our help, the board's help for that matter, to the MNBC at one time, and they turned you down?
Oh, by all means. I asked them to... I told them that I would like to get our youth involved. And, you know, I said to them, listen, you know, why don't you get some youth to run some good programs, curators programs. We'll get ourselves a building, and you can fund your... You can do your own funding through it. The only thing that I wanted to see that... It was taken care of by us as board members to make sure that nobody was going to exploit the money. And they turned us flat on our face. Like, they don't even want to recognize us. I've asked for support letters from the provincial council or the Métis Nation in BC. You know, I don't understand. You know, they're claiming all kinds of names. I remember the first time that, when they changed their name to Métis Nation BC, I had T-shirts made out way before they even thought of the name, for goodness sakes. And now they're going to try to claim it as theirs? You know, give me a break. Well, you know?
Well, we gave them a chance. Now we'll go our own way. We'll also start an economic development corporation for the Métis Preservation and Cultural Society. And they can go their own way if they want, but don't forget, only going to have funding for 3,500 people. We'll have funding for 55,000, so it doesn't make any difference.
You betcha.
We've given them all the opportunity they've ever wanted. We've given them everything, and they don't want to cooperate. So well, they can do what they want now. It's entirely up to them. I mean, we've been registered since 1993.
Yeah.
So what difference does it make? It doesn't matter anymore. Now we'll go public, and we'll just leave it at that.
That's right. Anyways, I was just trying to say that, you know, we're not going to try to beat them with politics. We're going to try to beat them with culture.
We're
not
going to beat them for anything. No, it's not about beating them. It's about publicizing our culture, educating our public, and educating our Métis people, our Métis and Métis people. I mean, let's face it, Métis is French and Métis is the English side, and it's always going to be that way for time immemorial, simply because that's the way it started and it can't change. And it'll never change.
That's right.
So that's just the way it is. We'll just carry on.
You betcha. Yeah. Anyways, listen, Earl, I'm going to play a little song. Stay on the line, and we'll talk some more, okay? Here's a song called Whiskey Before Breakfast. You know something, Earl? I don't know how these guys could go out there and jig and jig and jig. That's almost impossible for me. I don't know. What do you think? Oh, I guess maybe
Earl
I do. Oh, there you are. You're back.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
No, I was just saying, I said, these songs, my goodness, I'm just looking at the time limit these guys. Oh, wow. They were fit, weren't they, in them days, eh? They were nice and fit, eh? Nice and firm.
Well, Dale, you and I were both that fit at one time, too. We're past that stage now. Yeah. Used to be a lot of fun. I remember it well.
Yes. Listen, Earl, I don't know if it's too early to talk about this, but I heard some rumors going around about some Red River West program. Is that
well,
too early?
We're looking at it. We're looking at it, though, only if it's going to be under the umbrella of the Material Preservation Cultural Society. If it can't be, well, we won't do it, that's all. They can do it themselves and take care of it themselves. But we have to discuss that at the board level to see what the board thinks, because don't forget now, we have to take up the rest of the flight that's happened in the past. and we have to take consider what debts they may have or may not have, and we have to look at whatever receipts that are missing or not missing, et cetera, because we're not going to be responsible for that. And
no.
If the past board of the Red River West is interested in signing that off, then we'll look at it. But other than that, we're not going to touch it.
There you go.
Because I don't know what's going on, right? I have to find out. I have to ask. And if our board decides that, we can be a part of that, or we can take it over and run it this summer, fine. We'll do that. But other than that, if the board decides not to, we're not going to bother.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we're going to have some interesting talks at the board level, and I'm really looking forward to it. I actually, Earl, I'll be honest with you, I'm really looking for a very exciting 2009 year, regardless of our government of Canada having the same problems. I think it's us Métis people that are going to be the ones that are going to be okay, because we're going to be used to that sort of thing. You know what I'm saying? So,
we'll be fine. Right now, the government would rather have people like ourselves getting separate funding than giving it to one organization such as the MNBC or the UNN or the AP, Aboriginal People's Commission. You know, either way, they would rather people like ourselves. For example, we have the MNBC has 7 regions. The governments right now would rather have those 7 regions do their own fundraising or funding than going directly to the MNBC. Now, what that reason is, I have no idea, and it doesn't really concern me or our board. What concerns us the most is that we know what the government wants, and in particular, if the Federal Liberal Party of Canada gets in, we will have a better opportunity of doing our funding, and that's one of the main reasons why I suppose that I'm involved in the leadership convention, because I do know these people, and I do know that they trust me, and they trust the people that I'm involved with, which is of course yourself and our board, and they will deal with us. How they're going to deal with us is a different issue. That I don't know yet, but I do know that they expect different organizations such as ours to go after our own funding, other than going with the MNBC. I know that's sure. So.
Yeah, listen, you did send us an email about recruiting. You were looking, or they are looking for people, Aboriginal people, to be part of. Can you give me that explanation and how they can get involved in that? Because, like I said, it's about time us First Nation, Métis, and Inuit people start getting involved with our politics. I mean, we've got an Inuit leader she's been elected to Parliament right now. So, can you give us some details of what that email was about?
I'll try and brief you as quickly as I can without taking too much of your time. First of all, we have 3 Métis people in Parliament right now, who are members of Parliament in Ottawa. One is in Manitoba, one is in the Northwest Territories, and one is in the Labrador. And other than popular belief, if you like, or the definition that the Métis Nation, the Métis National Council has put into place, we have evolved from Quebec and the Maritimes to live in the Western Canada, in my view in particular, and I was brought never to discriminate, is that those people, we are probably related to all of these people, and in particular to the Legimajer, which is, I would say, if you're part French, you're probably related to the Legimajer, since they were the first couple in Canada from France. But regardless, we are inclusive. We have an Aboriginal People's Commission president in every province and territory in Canada, and we're all part of the Federal Liberal Party. And if you want to be a delegate to be a part of the history that's going to happen here in May, and it could be sooner, because the ON isn't very popular. But let's say in May, then all you need to do is go onto the Federal Liberal website and join up with the party. Then you could possibly be a delegate in May in Vancouver at the leadership convention, which, by the way, will also be a policy convention. It's going to be part and parcel. And I will be there speaking on behalf of the Aboriginal Apprenticeship Program that I have passed in 2000, and I'm doing again, which was passed here in Ottawa the last time I was there with the Aboriginal People's Commission. And I have to stand up in front of 6,000 people to talk on behalf of this policy, and hopefully they'll all vote in favor of it. And the policy basically is just to get rid of, or basically bypass, all provincial certificates and go strictly interprovincial. In other words, if you're a mechanic or a plumber or a pipefitter, welder, whatever, millwright, at this point in time, you write two certificates. Well, basically, I'm not sure if you have to write two certificates, but if you get over a certain limit, let's say 80% of your ticket, of your last exam, then what you do then is you automatically get a provincial ticket, but then you also get an interprovincial certificate, which is called a red seal. In my view, you don't need them both, you only need one. Now, since we're a federal responsibility, I think Aboriginal people don't need two tickets, we just need one, and we can go anywhere we want. And we don't have to give another province $60 when we work in a different province, which is basically all it is right now. It's very unfortunate. It's like a money grab, eh?
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to convince the government to bypass the provinces and go strictly interprovincial. And, I don't know, I've been trying to do this now since, 2000 is the first time I passed this policy. Now I'm going to read on it again. So if the delegates there agree with it, then it's done. But in the meantime, back to your question, if you want to be a delegate, but it's very expensive. Just to get there, to be able to vote, it's going to cost you $900. And then you have to pay for your room and your board as well. So it's very expensive, but it certainly is worth it.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah,
70% of those expenses, by the way, are deductible. Eh?
Yeah. I was saying, I'm going through that right now as I went through an apprenticeship and I was certified, and of course I was a member of the International Painters and Allied Trades, and of course I have my journeyman ticket and the whole works, and it took us a long time to be recognized as a construction trade, because we were always a sideline to the painters and the carpenters and the iron workers. And finally, in the meantime, we didn't have a red seal. They didn't recognize us as a trade, but it didn't matter. I went back to Ontario and worked for 2 years, and I didn't even have my red seal or the interprovincial or whatever. But half these provinces, when I went back, even in Alberta, they didn't even have programs like this. They didn't even. It was crazy. So now I'm going through a difficult time right now because I'm now retired from the trade, but I'm trying to get my instructor's diploma. See, from the provincial instructor's diploma. And, of course, I'm doing very well, by the way, in the course, which is really well. And now they're saying if I want to go teach into the universities, I'm going to need my red seal. So I have to go for my red seal exam. Of course, I can challenge it. And of course, here I'm going to go try to take an exam and have no information on refresher, just to refresh my memory of, closures and pivots and stuff like this, and there's no material out there.
That's the problem I've always found, too. They're always got a door closed in front of you when really they should be helping you open that door. Let's face it, they keep whining and crying. They're short of tradespeople, and they're short of instructors. and now they're giving you another hurdle to go by through. It never ceases to amaze me. In my view, and I've always learned this, being in politics as long as I have, it really isn't the politicians that run the show, it's the bureaucrats. And it all depends on which side of the bed they've come out of. And if they're in a good mood, they're going to help you. If they're not in a good mood, they're going to say, well, hey, you know, we have an issue here, et cetera, et cetera. It's always been that way. So what we got to do now is find a way to defeat that. That's all.
You betcha. Yeah, this is good. So listen, Earl, it's we're coming close to the end of the program here, and I really appreciate you coming on and talking to me. We're going to be next week. We're going to be at the Kamloops Interior Métis Child and Family Services Christmas party. So I'd like to thank you again, Earl, and we'll talk to you soon. We'll be talking to you soon. We'll be talking to you on the 27th. If
that's
not,
right,
you might.
Yeah.
What's that? Sorry?
I said that's right. And by the way, if you don't mind, I'd appreciate it if you would give my regards to everybody over there. And, tell, you know, it's been a long time since I've seen some of them people. And they've always been my friends, and we've always gotten along. So just please wish them Merry Christmas for me and give them a hug.
I will. Thanks, Earl. Thanks a lot.
Good night.
Well, folks, it's coming. We're coming to a close, and I'd like to thank you very much for the listeners in the Métis Voices radio program. We really enjoyed tonight's visit. I didn't get to play much music, but you know what? That's really good. We got to talk to Earl, and he gave us a little bit of information. So with that, thanking you, all of you, I would also like to thank our directors, Don and Seth and the gang, as well as the sponsors of the BBS radio station for allowing us to present this program to you each week. This time we're going to push it. Be sure to give us your feedback about Métis Voices Radio on the BBS radio website on the main page and click. And also check out our website at www.machifmetismuseum.org and also our community website there. It's called http://machifmetismuseum.ning.com. Again, next week, Friday, December the 12th, we will be playing an archive program as we will be in Kamloops for the Interior Métis Children and Family Services Christmas Party get-together. But we'll be live on December the 19th with an exciting guest. Her name is Elsie Hartley, third generation cousin of Louis Riel. And she's going to tell us about her life and times as a Métis woman. So I'd like to tune in next week, the same time, starting at 7:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Drive safe. And I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and Marcy. Good night, everybody.